From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
All right. Another Thursday with Paul Gessing in studio. We'll get to Paul in just a minute with the Rio Grande Foundation. Reminder that tonight at Calvary Church, a brand new study is getting underway. It's going to be a four-week course. It's free to take this, okay? And if you can't make it tonight, you're welcome to come any Thursday. We will continue to let you know about the opportunity to take the course. It is eschatology, a study of the last things. And actually, I'm going to ask our engineer to grab the, we're going to have a book for listeners that call in. If we get someone to bring that book in here, I want to make sure I'm telling people it's the right book. The eschatology class, it starts at 6:30 tonight. You're invited to attend at Calvary Church on Osuna, west of Jefferson. And listen, our understanding of the end times impacts how we live our lives and what we can expect in the future. So you can attend that class either tonight or any of the next 4 weeks. So you want to find out more, just go to the website, calvarynm.church. All right, thanks to our engineer and Jared, our engineer, and Tayshawn for running to go get this book for us. Everyone who calls in with a comment about one of the topics we're covering with Paul Gessing today, don't light up the phones yet. You're going to want to call in when you hear something that you have insight into or you want to ask a question about one of the topics. Everyone participating in that today is going to get a copy of Tony Evans' Your Comeback. Your past doesn't have to determine your future. A book from Tony Evans is always a nice Father's Day gift, so you can get that well in advance. Maybe read it and take notes and mark it all up before you get it to Dad. And the number to call if you're going to be a part of participating in today's show, you heard it at the top of the hour, is 505-338-5790. We'll even get a book to those who text us with their input on today's show. That's at 505-585-LIVE. 505-585-5483 to text your questions or comments. And the phone number is 505-338-5790. All right, with that, let's welcome Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation onto the broadcast. And Paul, not only thanks for coming, but for those not familiar with Rio Grande Foundation, let them know who you are.
Yeah, Rio Grande Foundation is a public policy research, what we would call a think tank. We analyze and discuss and try to educate New Mexicans about economic policy issues, the education system, and the Constitution of the state in the United States, and how those documents can and should be obeyed. All of this is geared towards making New Mexico a more prosperous, safer, more pleasant place to live and raise a family.
All right, and we've got lots of topics to talk about. If you haven't been to Paul's website, riograndefoundation.org, we would encourage you to do that. You can also go to errorsofenchantment.com. That's where Paul typically puts his blog stuff and articles that you found, Paul. A lot of great information available on both websites. And as we head towards the election, too, maybe before we jump into topics for today, a reminder to the listener about the index that you've provided for those that are operating in the roundhouse.
Absolutely, we'll be happy to talk about that.
Let's start with we'll get that out of the way, and then we'll jump into our first topic.
Well, Rio Grande Foundation puts out a what we call a Freedom Index. It's available at riograndefoundation.org. It analyzes the records of from a voting perspective on the floor of their respective houses of the members of New Mexico legislature. Now, primaries are coming up, and that is an important thing to go out, and especially if you have a competitive primary in one of the legislative seats that you live in. We're fully up this session. All 112 members of the legislature are up for election, and some of those people are facing challengers, some of them within their own parties, etc. And the Freedom Index is a great tool to see how your legislators are performing.
All right. So let's jump into our first topic today, Paul. Another look at where New Mexico ranks on in several categories. And actually, some of them, I don't know if they've moved up, but some of them were actually not at the bottom of the list, which was kind of encouraging.
Yeah, U.S. News and World Report is a magazine. I don't know if they still physically print their magazine, but it still exists online, and it still publishes some interesting stories and news items. And this is one of their, I think, longest going things that they work on, and it's just called The Best States. And unfortunately, we're not in the best states. We're not even in the mediocre states. We're in the very, very bottom of the states here in New Mexico. And the report is worth finding. You can go to just usnews.com, or if you would prefer to read our analysis, go to heirsofenchantment.com, and you can find that report prominently displayed and linked to along with our analysis, which I highly recommend. So, pretty straightforward. You look at the issue areas, starting off crime and corrections. New Mexico's ranked 48th. Our economy, 45th. Education, 50th. Fiscal stability, that means basically how stable your government is. And surprisingly, we're 33rd. I thought we would be better than that, because New Mexico is indeed sitting on quite a bit of money right now. Healthcare, 38th. Infrastructure, 44th. This one, I in part of my analysis of the report, I went back and looked at the 2019 version of the same report to kind of tell where New Mexico had come and gone. We were ranked 46th that year overall, but in infrastructure, as recently as 2019, New Mexico was 17th best. So we were in a much better position. I don't think I'm the only person that feels this way. It seems like the roads and the bridges, we have more potholes, we have bigger problems when it comes to just, you know, the old infrastructure issue here in New Mexico. That's one that's declined. Natural environment, you would think we would maybe be better than 32nd, but that's where we are in an opportunity. Opportunity is kind of, you know, what are the chances of somebody maybe who grows up not as wealthy to do better with their life. And 36 is not great, but overall it adds up to a very disappointing 49th. For those wondering which state performs worse than New Mexico, it is Louisiana. For states that are doing better, Utah is number one in the index.
You know, it's no probably going to be Louisiana until, you know, all they'll probably have to do is look at their neighbor, Mississippi, and see some of the changes they've made there to go up some of the lists. maybe like, and I think we may even talk about it later. I don't know if that's coming up later in the show. You know, just how New Mexico really should be looking at some of the stuff that some of the states in the cellar have done to move their way up. So there it is. You can find that report, like Paul said, on U.S. News and World Report's website. What is it, usnews.com?
Yeah, our analysis at errorsofenchantment.com.
Yeah, I encourage you to go there and check that out. And actually, that's a fairly fresh report. I mean, that's 2 days old.
Exactly. Yeah, well, those kinds of reports, there's a handful of them that when they come out, they are a little bit like Moses bringing down the tablets from Sinai. It's a big deal, and this is one that is definitely a big deal, because You know, when you're talking about the states that are getting the job done and which are not, we kind of have a hunch, if we're honest with ourselves, that New Mexico is not quite getting the job done. We know, starting off, you know, you got crime. Well, it's an issue that is front and center. We have forums going on in our community. We've got a lot of conversations about crime and how it has gotten worse and how it continues to affect people. You know, education. How many times have we talked about the education system in this state and how many problems it has? Finding doctors, you know, the overall economy, and whether we're a state that's building a diversified economy and growing our economy. I mean, those all really factor into either making your residence, your place of living, a really good place or a place that needs some work and help. And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, if you've got a comment, we'll take it. And that Tony Evans book, Your Comeback, is yours for participating in the show. Call 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-5483. And Paul, before we move on, one of the thoughts I had, you know, with crime being so bad, here's some, you know, you said you noticed, you know, the potholes and the infrastructure issues. You know, one of the things I noticed today, there used to be a day when if a student at a graduation took a shot and shot in the neck their stepmother, which happened yesterday at one of the charter school graduations, that, you know, there'd be water cooler talk. You know, hey, did you hear about? But it's because we're getting numb to it. It's just so commonplace for this kind of activity to be happening, at least in Albuquerque, if not around New Mexico, that and that's a problem, because once we've become numb to it, then we, you know, there's many that won't even address it.
Well, it's certainly an issue, and it's certainly, you know, just another way in which we're all, I think, surprised and perplexed at the way in which some number of people in this community act. And obviously, this is a young person who may have had a lot of other, you know, a lot of issues. But of course, this is also a gun-free zone. So yeah. I know it's really a big shock that the gun-free zone thing didn't work out. And, you know, this person wound up doing something that involved breaking the law with a weapon. So
I don't know what that gun was thinking.
I know the gun just messed up big time. So yeah, it's not
funny. I apologize.
It is a problem, though. It's not the gun itself. It's the people in our community. And you know, that's a bit of a separate issue in the sense that, you know, whereas the governor, we might as well just jump into the
health.
The governor's proposing, or not proposing, she's holding a special session here on July 18th. And that is coming up. It's something that we're watching. Everyone will be looking at and seeing where things go. At this point, it doesn't look like either a lot of controversial or impactful issues will be brought to bear. It will be about the crime issue. So we'll just, like everybody else, wait and see. About a week out from that, she will put forth her agenda, what she wants the legislature to talk about. As I understand it, bipartisan folks in Santa Fe among the legislature are not really super excited. They don't think that, from their perspective, and, you know, look, if the folks who controlled the power in Santa Fe wanted to solve or really address crime issues, they could. But I don't think the Democrats who control Santa Fe and have for years are willing to really tackle the hard issues. So if they weren't going to tackle them in the 60-day session a year ago, the 30-day session earlier this year, they're not going to have a different makeup of the body, because while the primaries will have taken place, it'll be the same legislature that's already been seated for the 30-day and 60-day. I fail to see exactly what is going to come of this. But, you know, we'll we'll see. The governor did what she did, and we'll just have to find out with everybody else what's going to happen.
Okay, and speaking of the governor and concern for crime and connecting that to health somehow, let's go ahead and move that. I was going to save this for later, but the article at Errors of Enchantment titled New Mexico is currently under two public health emergencies, which although, you know, they're making maybe more headlines in the past, they're not as maybe talked about as much.
Well, I believe we talked a while back last month, and I kind of said, well, I know we're under at least one public health emergency, but I wasn't sure. And, you know, one of the reasons I'm in the position that I am in, I work in the field I'm in, is because I don't just leave those questions and move on with my life. I kind of sit there and start wondering, is this right? Is this one emergency that we're under? Is it a couple? How long are these emergencies supposed to be in place? What is the contents of those emergencies? So I got to the bottom of it because that's kind of what how I am compelled to do these things, just myself and my own mentality. And we are under two public health emergencies through May 17th. One is the governor's gun violence order. So again, the shooting at the graduation, the gun violence order did not seem to address that issue. The second one deals with drug abuse, which may or may not have been part of that equation, but you can't discount it when these kinds of things happen. So these are the latest and not so greatest executive orders from our governor. And you know, I think, as I recall, Steve, the you know, having lived in New Mexico full time since 2006, I don't remember a single emergency being declared by Bill Richardson or Susana Martinez or even Michelle Lujan Grisham until March of 2020, when COVID, of course, was the big issue. And now she just doesn't want to give up those public health emergencies. And I would defy if you went out and did the old Jay Leno man on the street kind of thing where you put a microphone and a camera in somebody's face and said, is New Mexico under a public health emergency now? If so, how many and what is the subject of those? The people listening to this program may be the only New Mexicans who are aware of this, which kind of defies the purpose of being in a public health emergency to begin with. Because if you are going to declare a health emergency, it should be a big deal. It should be something that people not only understand and care about, but that they feel like something is being done to address the issue. And we could debate till the cows come home what was done and not done during COVID. That's not what this is about. This is about subsequent and ongoing orders and emergencies that will now be theoretically expiring in 8 days, but I would be the least shocked man on the planet if she continued, especially given that we do have a special session coming up. And of course, we just had this shooting at the graduation. So especially the gun violence one, I fully expect to be re-upped and for the foreseeable future.
So back to your visual, Waters World is what I was trying to think of instead of Jay Leno. You're dating yourself, Paul.
I am, but darn it, I was around and enjoyed good late night television.
And that was yeah, TV. Very similar, though. You know, you see Jesse Waters get out and do that nowadays. But at any rate, yeah, it would be very interesting to see what New Mexicans would have to say on either, you know, either of those health emergencies. And you know, we did talk a little bit about obviously the shooting at the public school, which brings us to another issue, looking at school choice not being is the last option for New Mexico's failing public educational system. This was an article, Paul, that you found in the Albuquerque Journal.
Well, not just found, but indirectly, my organization was kind of behind it because Rebecca Dow, former state rep, former candidate for governor, does work for Rio Grande Foundation in handling education policy for a project called OAK, Opportunities for All Kids, New Mexico. And she wrote that opinion piece highlighting information from a recent report that was put out by the federal Department of Education. I believe I may have spoken about it last month, but to refresh, it basically highlighted numerous metrics in which New Mexico's education system was not getting the job done. And we obviously at the Rio Grande Foundation have taken kind of an all of the above approach to education and reform. Ultimately, Rebecca is spot on that choice and empowering parents and families to make the decisions as to where they send their kids and to allow those government resources dedicated to education to be directed by parents and families as opposed to the education bureaucrats up in Santa Fe is something that we very much agree with at Rio Grande Foundation. So her opinion piece ran, I believe it was this Sunday in the Albuquerque Journal. And you can find that along with everything else at heirsofenchantment.com. And I believe at riograndefoundation.org or OAK, New Mexico, OAKNM.
OAK, remind me.
Opportunities for All Kids.
There we go. Another, was it like a convention last year? Is that
We did. We had a significant education reform meeting, gathering, convention, all of the above here in Albuquerque. We're going to have a smaller event relating to education reform this year. But education reform remains, I mean, we just talked about it, right? U.S. News, best states, ranked New Mexico 50th on education. This is the kind of thing that, you know, while you know, gun violence and violence in general and crime, all of those are issues, our education system, I think, is really, when you talk about root causes, at the very bottom of everything.
All right. Well, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation for the full hour today. A little late on getting to our first break, so we're going to take a break. But if you have a comment on any of the topics we've covered or will cover, the phone lines are open for you at 505-338-5790. Everyone participating on today's show is going to get a copy of Tony Evans' Your Comeback. Your past doesn't have to determine your future. We have a copy of that book for you. If you want to participate by either calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-5483, which is 585-LIVE. We'll be back with more with Paul Gessing right after the break on ABQ Connect. All right, thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. Hey, I mentioned it at the top of the show, but I want to remind you again, the eschatology class, a free class, a study, actually, a four-week study that gets underway tonight at Calvary Church at 6:30. You are invited to, and our understanding of the end times impacts how we live our lives and what we can expect in the future. So attend these as often as you can through the month of May. The details are on the website at calvarynm.church. Also, Bernalillo Family Fun Festival, put on by the New Mexico Family Action Movement, is happening at Calvary Church on Osuna, west of Jefferson, Saturday, May 18th. This is a New Mexico Family Action Movement event, and it's the Bernalillo, which is telling because they're going to be doing these all over the state. But on May 18th, bring out the whole family. Enjoy that family day with the carnival games and prizes, food, and more. And then they'll have various booths set up to connect you with the ministries and organizations that operate in our community that may benefit your family. So find out more at the New Mexico Family Action Movement website at nmfam.org. Then click on the foundation tab and scroll down. You'll find the flyer for the Bernalillo Family Fun Festival, a free event May 18th at Calvary Church on Osuna. And we're in studio with Paul Gessing the full hour today, and we've already covered several topics. including education in New Mexico and other things. But if you heard something you want to comment on or you have a thought on or a question about, feel free to call 505-338-5790. A book by Tony Evans is yours for the call and the comment. We'd love to hear from you or just text 585-LIVE. Paul, on errorsofenchantment.com, another site put together essentially by the Rio Grande Foundation and riograndefoundation.org, the other website. On the Errors of Enchantment website, we find another article titled New Mexico Spends Millions on Solar Power, Not Knowing How Much Power It Will Get. So let's just do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Long story short, a news outlet called The Center Square, they are at thecentersquare.com, had a reporter who was working on a story regarding New Mexico and four solar power plants. They had some questions they asked the state about in terms of how much power will be generated by these solar plants and how many jobs will be created by putting this solar plant into place.
I don't know. We'll
and the state, you know, spokesperson essentially had no idea.
Oh, man.
They came to me and asked for comment on it, and I gave them a brief comment and said, you know, right now we are in the midst of what can only be called a craze. We've been in other crazes over the years, like the craze when I was a kid that children were being kidnapped and, you know, taken away from their parents across the land, which wasn't really true. We've had the craze of COVID. We've had other crazes, Cabbage Patch Kids as one example. And, you know, we're in this renewable energy craze right now where basically all you have to do to get subsidies and money from the government is say that you're doing renewable energy and boom, the checks show up in the mail. So the state's spending $6 million. They don't know how much electricity is going to be generated or how many jobs are going to be created during these events. So it's by these projects. So just another way, kind of inside government and how it works or doesn't work.
Yeah, it's it just seems like it's a huge, I don't even know what to call it. I was going to say issue, but you know, every opportunity to, you know, like you said, go green, quote unquote green, because if you look closely at, you know, often at these efforts, if that's what they, you know, again, it's like, why is this really happening? And we've talked too in the past about, you know, simple control, you know, potentially being a reason behind it. But and if they're going to do these projects, you would certainly think before spending millions, there would have been a study and an understanding of what the benefit would be. Not let's spend millions, cross our fingers, and hope that we've done something good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, solar does have its costs. You still have to mine and manufacture all the material. That takes a lot of energy and resources. You're you know, taking large swaths of land that are used by critters and potentially other things, and making that much more difficult for those critters to use that land or agricultural entities to use that land. And then you get into whether that energy is going to be available when you actually need the energy be available, and what batteries need to be developed or what other technologies need to be put in place, including but not limited to high tension power lines, which have their own environmental costs and, of course, cost money and you know, resources to string those across.
And as far as having the power available, were you referring like to the outages in Texas and what we've seen in California?
Sure. Yeah. If there's clouds, could be just a cloudy day or could be an eclipse. We saw that recently. I mean, obviously eclipses aren't that common. It could be nighttime, whatever it may be. You don't have real control over wind and solar as sources of energy. And that means that they are much less valuable than something that works 24/7. The good news for solar is that it, broadly speaking, if it's a really hot day, chances are there will be a decent amount of sun. But if it's a really hot day, the wind does tend to die down. And it gets really messy when you talk about building your grid around those so-called renewables.
Yeah, all right. Some good thoughts with Paul Gessing. He's in the studio with us for the full hour from the Rio Grande Foundation. Go to riograndefoundation.org. And a lot of the content today taken from articles written on the website errorsofenchantment.com. We're going to take a quick break. We're not done, though, on the climate issues or renewable energy or what have you. We're going to come back with more, and let me tease it. We're going to look at is it effective versus politically correct when it comes to climate policy, and we'll get to it right after the break on ABQ Connect. Hey, there's an event happening this weekend that may interest you. You can hear from Dr. Ming Wang, the inspiration for the movie Sight, S-I-G-H-T. He'll be speaking at Eastern Hills Baptist Church, Morris, north of Candelaria, Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. And he's portrayed in the movie, and he's going to be sharing his inspiring story during this event. Afternoon will encourage attendees to work towards creating a better world. And I believe you'll catch the pre-screening of the movie Sight as well. If you want to find out about the event, the place to go is the website for the Eastern Hills Baptist Church. That's ehbc.org. To view the trailer, go to sightthemovie.com. That's S-I-G-H-T, themovie.com. Full hour today on ABQ Connect with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation, riograndefoundation.org, and errorsofenchantment.com. A Tony Evans book, Your Comeback, to anyone who wants to call in and participate on today's show, whether it's via a text or a phone call. We actually have a question or comment from someone on the text line there, Paul. How do we expect the gun-related health emergency to work? And what significant actions are being taken to resolve the gun issue without infringing on legal gun owners' rights? And that sounds like a good question for our governor.
Ooh, well, there were some. So this gun tracking and this gun emergency date back to last fall when the governor made that nationally reported on decision to theoretically keep people here in Bernalillo County, the largest population county in the state, and certainly one of the most challenged when it comes to crime issues, that she wanted to prohibit people from concealed or open carrying guns. So this gun emergency order now is just the other provisions of that. And a lot of them are really not very impactful when it comes to enforcing restrictions on guns. I don't even know all the details of those aspects of the order. It really indicates that the problem, first and foremost, I don't believe is guns. The texter or caller talks about respecting the Second Amendment. Now, at the end of May here, we're going to have this new 7-day waiting period kick in. That was passed in the legislature. And if you're going to see gun rights limited, or if you're going to see anything impacting safety in a positive way, the legislature is one of the primary ways that you're going to have to do that. But I don't think the 7-day waiting period is going to be enough. I don't think anything coming out of the legislative special session is going to be enough. You just need to really focus on crime issues. There's reports about how workforce participation and keeping people in the workforce reduces crime, which I'm a big believer in the idle hands being the devil's workshop. That is a saying that definitely resonates with me. So there's a lot of different systematic approaches that need to be undertaken. The governor and her legislative allies tend to focus just on guns, but they've gotten limited traction both among Republicans and moderate Democrats. So talking about this primary election here, one of the big things that we're going to see as a result of this this election is, are moderate Democrats who support gun rights going to be able to return to Santa Fe, or is the governor going to be able to fund their opponents and take them out with more progressive people who will go her way on the gun issue?
All right. So thanks for your text, and we'll leave that available to the listener if they want to comment or ask a question at 585-LIVE to text, or you can call in studio. It's 338-5790. Let's go to our next story, Paul. I already teased it. Effective versus politically correct climate policy, an article found at errorsofenchantment.com.
Yeah, well, we talk a lot about wind and solar and other so-called renewable and green technologies, and they're just labeled as green. But according to this report, this data, the amount of reduction in electricity generated CO2 since 2005 in the United States, the 61%, the vast majority, has been as a result of natural gas replacing coal. So coal has been a workhorse fuel for decades when it comes to producing electricity in this country. It does have its drawbacks, and one of those is that it can be fairly dirty. Natural gas is much cleaner, and it's become plentiful thanks to the fracking technology. This chart is from the Energy Information Administration, which is an arm of the U.S. government. And 61% of the reduction in CO2 emissions from electricity generation in the United States since 2005, a direct result of natural gas, with the other 39% being from what are called so-called zero carbon generation sources, wind, solar, et cetera. The difference is that there's no real subsidies for natural gas. The subsidies are very much on the other side of the equation. So what would be really interesting is to look at CO2 emissions decline per dollar spent, at least taxpayer dollar spent, and that would make the natural gas deal even bigger in terms of its advantage and even better than it is. But 61% is solid. And none other than President Obama talked about this at the time. It's not like this was some big secret. This is a policy that was supported by President Obama.
All right. And then another article on the topic of green. Actually, Paul, I wasn't aware of this. I'm talking about the article, New Mexico taxpayers bail out another quote unquote green scheme and large corporation bailing out both. I wasn't not familiar with this. I was not aware of this.
Well, I wasn't either until I found the story, and it was written up by KRQE, Channel 13. And the idea is that the state of New Mexico is spending $500,000 to help UPS or United Parcel Service get 16 new vehicles that are using a cleaner form of energy. Now, a recent article...
Define cleaner...
Well, that's what I'm about to do. So previously, you would have expected this to be electric vehicles, but the UPS and FedEx have been having troubles getting electric vehicles. The companies are unstable, they go bankrupt, and
the company's making the vehicles.
Right. The company's making the vehicles that they would buy at UPS or FedEx are often going out of business. They can't access enough of the batteries. So there's issues there. But what we the taxpayers of New Mexico are buying for UPS are actually CNG, or compressed natural gas. And like I said, it's just under $500,000, like $473,000 that we're spending money to buy vehicles for UPS, which is the very definition of corporate welfare. It's something I think we can all agree UPS, one of the biggest companies on the planet, can afford to buy their own vehicles. But, you know, there's always something, some goofy reason for politicians and tax dollars to get involved in these.
Yeah, I don't understand why. Yeah.
I mean,
You know, by the way, I also paid for an abortion clinic in Las Vegas.
Well, technically you haven't yet because that hasn't happened yet.
Oh, okay.
And that's one that I've commented on and talked about. Taxpayers in New Mexico have set aside $10 million for numerous projects, capital outlay projects. New Mexico's notorious across the country for its problematic capital outlay situation, the way it works, the lack of prioritization. And that is one of those projects that was included in a capital outlay bill, the abortion clinic. Thankfully, they have not even figured out where they're going to put it, what this building facility is going to look like. And it's just par for the course for our capital outlay process. KOB TV had a story recently about the fact that $4.5 billion is sitting in various accounts, including $10 million for that abortion clinic, that is just not being spent. So, you know, obviously, disagree with the specifics, the usage of those dollars for that particular capital outlay process. So the snail's pace, the lack of prioritization to an extent is working in our favor on that one. But the idea that taxpayers should just have no idea how this process works, and it's just a grab bag with the governor deciding that she wants to spend that money, is absolutely insane and ridiculous. And hopefully it just falls through the cracks and we never hear of that facility ever being built. But it's ready to go from the financial perspective.
All right. Listen, if you just joined us, the full hour today is with Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation. The website is riograndefoundation.org. And many of the topics we're talking about today, you'll find the articles at errorsofenchantment.com. We'll have a Tony Evans book available, the Tony Evans book, Your Comeback. Your past doesn't have to determine your future. For those texting or calling into the show today, the studio line's 338-5790, and you can text 585-5483, which is 585-LIVE. We'll be back with more and considering an article, being a U.S. senator, about much more than quote-unquote pork. That's one of the stories at errorsofenchantment.com, and we'll dive into that after the break with Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation next on ABQ Connect. All right, thanks for tuning in to ABQ Connect. Coming up over the weekend, up in Santa Fe, the Mosaic Arts and Music Cafe is at it again, providing some great opportunity for the whole family to get out for some wonderful events throughout the month of May. Well, actually, tomorrow night at 6:30, they'll have Christian karaoke. That's at the Mosaic Arts and Music Cafe, which is located, by the way, in Santa Fe, at the Santa Fe First Church of the Nazarene on Don Diego, north of Cordova. And then on Saturday at 1 p.m., an art cafe with vendors and a creative space for artists. You'll find details about the Mosaic Arts and Music Cafe on the website or on the Facebook page at facebook.com/Mosaic Music Arts Cafe. In studio with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation, and the articles we're covering today, mostly found at errorsofenchantment.com. The website for the foundation is riograndefoundation.org. And Paul, an article posted at errorsofenchantment.com, being a U.S. senator about much more than pork. And kind of looking at, well, the picture with Nella Domenici and Martin Heinrich, of course, both running for U.S. Senate.
Yeah, there were dueling opinion articles in the Sunday paper. One from Gail Chasey that I want to really highlight here. Gail Chasey is a very hard left progressive Democrat. She's actually retiring after this last session, although she'll be around, I'm sure, for the special session in July. But what we're really talking about here is Gail Chasey's article, which kind of compared in a pretty favorable way Martin Heinrich, our current U.S. senator, with Senator Pete Domenici. And the sad truth is that Gail Chasey can only kind of rely on the idea of bringing home the bacon, federal dollars for the state in her approach to making this analogy, this comparison, because Pete Domenici, of course, was a Republican. He definitely did bring home a lot of money for New Mexico. And that's something that I would be a critic of at the time with Domenici, and certainly not a fan particularly of Heinrich and his efforts to bring home tax dollars from Washington. Now, the thing that I think is really important about this is, one, New Mexico is already one of the most reliant states when it comes to the federal government. So whether it's Domenici, Bingaman, Tom Udall, or Martin Heinrich, it's an open question as to whether New Mexico should really be reliant on Washington. But it's also not proven to be very successful to bring prosperity to New Mexico, because we are one of the most impoverished states in the nation, and we continue to have these federal dollars pour in here. But the more important thing is that it really is the job of a U.S. senator to do a lot more than just bring home the bacon for their prospective states. That is a game of diminishing returns. What really matters is the policies and the votes that are taken in Washington, D.C., and how well they represent the interests of their state, their nation. And we've talked about it before. Martin Heinrich is a hard left, true believer in the radical environmental causes. He does not support New Mexico through voting on issues relating to energy issues. And I think the more troubling thing is that right now, the Energy Committee in the U.S. Senate is going into a bit of a transition. Joe Manchin, Democrat from West Virginia, well known as kind of being the moderate voice of the Democratic Party in the Senate, he's retiring. A lot of people thought he'd be running for president. He may someday still, but he is retiring. He was the chair of that committee. By retiring, he is opening the door for Senator Martin Heinrich to make America's energy policy as chair of the Energy Committee. And that is something that I think anybody who cares about energy independence, energy affordability, should be very, very concerned about.
All right. And that's not something I would have had on my radar had I not seen the article that you
said. No, I didn't have it on my radar myself, but you Google Heinrich and Energy Committee and you see that he is widely considered, I believe it's Energy and Economy Newsletter, one of these things that watches what's going on in Washington, D.C., a lot closer than most New Mexicans do, because while we do get a lot of money from the federal government, again, probably people on the street don't know who's chairing these relevant committees, which committees Heinrich versus Ben Ray Lujan are on. All they know is either they tend to agree with or tend to disagree with these people. And Heinrich is very much different from Joe Manchin. And he will be the chair if the Democrats hold the majority and Heinrich gets reelected. It could be, I think, some really tough days ahead for American energy producers and the entire affordability of our energy supply here in the United States.
And I meant to say this earlier in the show, with the different comments and thoughts on how money's being spent here in New Mexico using our tax dollars and projects being done before, and money being spent before you know, necessary study is done to know whether or not it should be profitable. Those kind of things. If that's a concern, you know, if you like it that way, well, you have an opportunity to vote for it to stay that way. And if you don't like some of what we're talking about, there's an opportunity to vote coming up very soon for that as well. So we encourage you, if you're not registered, get out and register. And then when you have the opportunity, actually get out and vote. Which, by the way, early vote, primary, is there already opportunities, Paul?
I believe early voting is already going on. I don't know if, I'm a big fan of the ones that are in your community, easily accessible. I think right now we may be just at the office, the one office downtown. But once those early voting locations open up, it is very convenient, and I highly recommend that people of all political persuasions go and vote early, because you just never know. Something could come up in your life on election day. You could fall horribly ill, or something could happen. Weather-wise, you want to make sure your vote is cast. Obviously, primaries are important. General election, even more important. And like I said, there are votes being held relating to moderate Democrats in the legislature, in the House. There's other races up for election in the legislature throughout the rest of New Mexico.
Okay, and Paul, we got about a minute. If you want to just your thoughts on the article that you sent. Was this an article from Politico? The pro-Palestinian protesters are backed by a surprising source, Biden's biggest donors.
Yeah. There are some major donors that tend to give to Democratic causes, including Joe Biden, who have been giving money to these Palestinian protesters. And it's a very fascinating situation, because George Soros, the Rockefeller family, and the Pritzker family. Pritzker is the current governor of Illinois, but it's really the heirs to the Hyatt Hotel fortune. So, and those people are funding these protesters.
All right. Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. You can support the work that Paul's doing at the website, riograndefoundation.org. Also, go check out those the blogs and the articles we mentioned, several of them today, from errorsofenchantment.com. And join us again tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Thanks, Paul, by the way.
Thank you. Always good to be here.
Join us on ABQ Connect.